Wake up. That's right. Wake up. Welcome. It is March the 6th. Wake up and join us.
Oh, wake up indeed. He's Larry. I'm Damon. It's great to have you here. Thank you so much. Like and subscribe to both channels if you would please. Our third show together this week, our second wake up. Krug, thanks again for having me on Niners Nightly. That was fun this week to pop back on the radio for the first time in a very long time. That was an awful lot of fun, man. And I know a lot of people tuned in for that and have been very supportive and complimentary. And I just want to say thanks to everyone on both sides of our YouTube channels for tuning on into that. We got ourselves a good one for you today. You know, the holes that the 49ers need to fill in this upcoming draft will be dictated by what they do next week when free agency gets underway. Any mock draft, any real kind of draft prediction model before the 49ers go through free agency is a little bit of a waste of time. It's a fun thing to do, but we'll know an awful lot more about their needs after free agency comes and goes next week. But that's not going to stop us today, Larry, from starting with a very interesting bit of information from Daniel Jeremiah over on NFL Network, who I think is just one of the best reasons to watch NFL Network. I like Daniel Jeremiah's work an awful lot. You a fan of his?
Yeah, he's solid.
Yeah, I think he's really good. He is all over the draft. He is part of their draft coverage. He is a draft nick. He does deep dives on evaluations. And he says that the sweet spot in this draft, and this is going to be right up your alley, Larry, is between 50 and 75. He says there are a bunch of solid starters late, just waiting in that range. Whether you need edge, corner, or wide receiver, the guy that you get at 75 will be graded almost identically to the guy that you would get at 45 in this upcoming draft. Now, that is good news for a team that needs to add depth, and good news for those of you who think the Niners should maybe trade back. The only bad news there, Larry, is the sweet spot of this draft starts to collide right with the blind spot of what we have seen from this front office, where picks in those second and third rounds have been, you know, they've not exactly borne much fruit for the San Francisco 49ers. So that's John Lynch's music that's playing. And Larry, this is the draft he absolutely has to get right. So let's jump off there. What do you think of, first of all, Daniel Jeremiah's assessment that, you know, a good chunk of, you know, the second round into the early bit of the third round is just laden with legit NFL talent?
Well, you know, I feel like that's kind of the case a lot, but I really do think, like, you know, when I'm looking at the Niners picking at the end of the first round, I'm looking at them with maybe some pieces to trade in Mac Jones and maybe others, who knows. I would love to gather up, you know, a whole litany of picks in that second, third, and fourth round, even if that means trading back out of the first round, because I think you can fill all your needs in those mid rounds. I mean, let's take defensive end and take Daniel Jeremiah's comment and apply it to draft tech's big board, right? So they've got everybody listed one, you know, one through whatever position wise, but then they also have them listed one through whatever in the total draft. So this is who they have at defensive end at off the edge in the 20s. Cassius Howell. They have Cassius Howell at 28. So then if you go down 20 spots and play his game, Gabe Yakus at Illinois, who I really like, is projected to go at number 45. And Joshua Josephs from Tennessee, projected to go 48. R. Mason Thomas from Oklahoma, projected to go 49. Zion Young, who I'm a huge fan of.
You like him.
55, Danny Dennis Sutton, 52. So, you know, just at least at that one spot, I kind of agree. I mean, TJ Parker, Keldrick Falk, and Cassius Howell are in, you know, are supposed to go 18, 19, and 28. And Yakus, Josephs, Mason, Sutton, and Young go between 45 and 55. So, yeah, at least at defensive end, I think he's totally right.
You think wide receiver? Look at it this way. If you think D end is the deepest draftable position group, not that you said that. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
But if you, what's the second? If D end is right up there, if edge is up there, what is the second deepest position group in this draft? Is it wide receiver?
Well, it's always a good draft for wide receivers, it seems, because you see guys going late. I mean, I'm looking at good receivers. Let me look at the list here, but I'm looking at good receivers, you know, deep into into day three. I'm a big fan of Dylan Bell. They have him going at 289. That's undrafted. Dazon Stribling from Ole Miss. I really like him. They have him going 268. That's undrafted. Ty Montgomery from John Carroll looked amazing at the Senior Bowl. They have him going 263. I think that's Mr. Irrelevant. You know, that's the last pick. So Malik Benson flies from Oregon. Berrion Brown flies from LSU. These guys really, really run well. Jeff Caldwell from Cincinnati flies. These guys are all projected to go between pick 170 and the end of the draft. So, yeah, it's a good draft. You know, I've heard somebody, and I haven't done the deep dive and counted and this and that. It's all beauty in the eye of the beholder. But somebody came out the other day and said that if you're looking for a linebacker, this is your draft. This is your year. And he wasn't just talking about the draft. He was talking about free agency, too. So, you know, it's like, you know, it really depends, what you value, what you like, what, you know, what prospects you think are really good that are there at the end of the draft. But yeah, I think there's going to be, if you're one of these guys that one of these teams that needs a linebacker, you know, I'll just give you, you know, three or four names that are day three guys. They list here as day three guys. Red Murdoch from Buffalo's tackling machine. He's considered a late day three guy. Shad Banks from Texas San Antonio, late day three guy. Desmond Purnell, K-State, really great tackler, late day three guy. So there's going to be a lot of linebacker might be a real good spot.
Only because you just said the word Buffalo out loud. I don't mean to just jump into another subject, but what do you think Khalil Mack's market is going to be? And if the 49ers might knock on his door?
Well, I mean, he's a free agent. He's been a top rush guy for a while. He's had some injuries. He's a little undersized. He's not a scheme fit for everybody. But, you know, the Niners probably are going to have kind of more of a multiple front this year. So he probably would be a fit. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what, you know, it's like, you know, I'm really uncomfortable going for those kinds of players generally in free agency. It's like, this guy's not on his first contract. He's not on his second. He's not on his third.
Right. This is
he's not on his first team. He's not on his second team. It's like, so he's a true mercenary, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I kind of steer clear of the guys looking for that one big payday on the way out the door, unless you think he's, you know, the final piece to your puzzle. And maybe they'd have interest, but it would be for a muted salary compared to what he's made.
Want to hop in here with at fire everybody, very reasonable handle. Fire everybody says Snead and Schneider are playing chess. Lynch is playing tiddlywinks. Look,
Lynch isn't playing anything yet. I mean, what are we talking about? Yeah, they haven't made any moves yet.
If you're saying in the past, Lynch and Shanahan have been outplayed by both what's happening in the front office in Los Angeles and in Seattle. I mean, I'll agree with you there, but this is a brand new game and hopefully lessons from games lost of past drafts will finally take hold of the 49ers front office. And they're going to come away with players that they A, like, and B, actually play. I mean, to me, that is what we're going to be doing. Any sort of grading of this rookie class, how much are these guys going to actually get on the field? We have seen time and time again a rookie class barely participate in an NFL season under Kyle Shanahan. So they're going to need to get these players out on the field here as they're going through a little bit of an evolution on their roster, if you will. But I hear what you say. I mean, you know, not that we want to till bad feelings or old ground, but, you know, the sweet spot of this draft is right where John Lynch has missed so many picks. You know, CJ Beathard, Travarius Moore, Jalen Hurd, Trey Sermon, Danny Gray, Tyrion Davis Price, The reach for Jake Moody was in the third, obviously. That is just going to haunt John Lynch. John Lynch can win a Super Bowl. We'll be telling Jake Moody in the third round jokes at the end of the bar for the rest of John Lynch's career, let's be honest. You know, he has had much more success. You know, the Greenlaws, the Kittles, the Hufangas, the Brock Purdy, the epicenter of late round success. And I saw an analyst offer a reason why. And Larry, I think I agree with it. We always talk, and you always say, like, draft great players. I mean, I know that that sounds pretty freaking elementary, but I hear what you're saying, and I don't tease you for ever saying that, because it feels like Lynch and Shanahan sometimes have fallen into need more than best available. And they've had some needs that they've had to address over the years. The write-up on this that I thought was maybe explains why Lynch isn't great early or in the middle of the draft, but has really had success later in the draft, is because later in the draft, your positional needs have sort of evaporated. Either you've addressed them or you missed the guy that you thought was going to fit that. And now late in the draft, all you're looking at is raw talent. All you're looking at is the raw talent, not does he fit what we do, but is he a real football player? And that's where Lynch has had and Shanahan has had their success in this draft. So maybe whatever they apply to their philosophy in late rounds is something that they need to start applying to the philosophy in the early rounds.
There's so much unknown here. I mean, we could speculate forever. We just don't know. We don't know. I mean, they might have a totally different process for day three than they have for day one. You know, they may have a totally different deal. I mean, you know, is Shanahan's the head coach. There's multiple examples of him saying, "Hey, I want this guy." He's somewhat impulsive. You know, Shanahan's one of those guys, when he likes something, he wants it. And when he's done with you, he's done with you. And I think that impulsive nature has probably aided him and helped him in his football career. But I think it's probably hurt him in his personnel evaluation. You know, it's like the buck stops with you. Well, that's great if you make great decisions when, you know, in these impulsive moments. But if you're just like, trade up for CJ Beathard, trade up for Joe Williams, I gotta have Dante Pettis, I gotta have Jalen Hurd, get me Joe, you know. Okay, well, guess what? None of these guys have worked out. So maybe you should just attend the draft and listen to your scouts and let them pick. You know, because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, nobody would ever sit there. Trent Williams said it this week. He's like, "Hey, look, I wish you guys could see Kyle coach. He's really the best coach ever." Okay, I believe you. I believe you. But I also see the six or seven guys that he impulsively demanded that the Niners trade up to get, and they all fucking suck. They're all fucking out of football. They all can't play fucking dead. There's not even a backup player in there. They're all shit. So let's stop listening to him. And Kyle, stop recommending things. Just let your process unfold. I think that has more to do with it than anything. I think they probably have decent scouts. They have a decent personnel department. And then they inject so many people into your equation. I mean, it's not that different. It's not that difficult to understand. I mean, it's like, is it harder to win a four-team parlay or a two-team parlay? It's hard to win a four-team parlay. Or a six-team parlay? It's harder to win a six-team parlay. Is it, you know, are you going to get your decisions right more if you inject 20 people into your decision-making process, or are you going to be better if you have 100 people in your decision-making process? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, eventually there's a law of diminishing returns. Eventually you got to have somebody with some balls, with some guts, with some smarts that you listen to. And that guy's got to hit it right. This idea that you're going to get your coaches, your training staff, your analytics people, your scouts, your front office people, the ownership, and all to all agree on something. I mean, come on, you're going to try to build consensus with like 50 fucking people. That's your process. And I've heard Lynch say, "Well, we love our process." Well, yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
because you're screwing up your draft. You've fallen behind the Rams. You've fallen behind Seattle, and there's no adult at the table to grab you guys by the collar and shake you and say, "You don't know what the fuck's going on. You guys need to do something better. You need to improve your process.
What I wish more than anything else, you know, if we could be let into the process. Obviously, they're never going to show you the draft board. They're never going to show you, you know, these are the players we're interested in. But I would really love to know, like, does Shanahan have more control over the early premium picks than John actually has? Who gets the deciding vote when there is a lack of consensus? Where does the buck really stop? All suggestions are at Shanahan, but it does say general manager on John Lynch's business card. Which is it? Who's really in charge here and of this process?
Well, we know who's in charge, but who's really good at it?
Right.
There's got to be some Niner personnel person, Damon, who is like, this guy is nails. Let's listen to that guy instead of trying to build consensus with Joyce from the analytics department and your backup special teams coach. They listened to Brant Boyer. They drafted guys based on what Brant Boyer, their first year special teams. They needed offensive linemen. They could have had Willie Lampkin. They said, no, we're going to listen to our special teams coach and take an FCS return guy named Junior Bergen, who cannot play, will not play, isn't going to play, can't play. You and I can play as much as that guy can play. They passed on Willie Lampkin, who they desperately needed, for Junior Bergen.
Bold choice. And here's the thing. Boyer, as a special teams coach, did an outstanding job. But he threw away a pick and a roster spot on an idea that he should have never even been allowed to bring to the table.
Well, his son's on the kid's team. You know, I would say to him as he's touting this guy, I'd say, hey, Brant, love you, bro. Tough guy, good special teams coach and all. But maybe you're a little too close to it. You know, maybe you're a little too close to this one. Maybe back away and let somebody else, you know, pound the table on this one. Maybe you're a little too close to it. You like the kid. You've met the kid. You know the kid. Maybe you've fallen in love a little bit with the kid's personality. He's very glib. He's very nice. He's very smiley. He can't play. Okay. He cannot play. And you're a special teams coach. Coach special teams. Go get a personnel guy who can. You know, I'm just, you know, whatever. I mean, it's like, it's frustrating. It's frustrating watching them fall behind the teams in their division because of just horseshit, just nothing, just a bunch of nothing. Well, we're going to include everybody in our decision-making process. Well, guess what? You know, have you ever played that game where that game where you speak something and then you pass it along? If there's three people, it transfers perfectly. If there's 30 people, it doesn't. If there's 300 people, by the end, it's not even going to be loosely related to the original message.
Right.
The more people you inject into your equation, the more problematic that is. The Niners look at it like, if we can get everybody on the same page, we're in a good spot. Stop trying to get everybody on the same page and find a genius personnel evaluator. Do you think Eric DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome are trying to find every guy on the right page? You think Howie Roseman is trying to make sure that some analytics asshole down in the corner office is going to be satisfied? No.
Do you think
he's going to make the picks?
Do you think Sean McVay is telling Les Snead what he wants? He's dictating that conversation. Get me this guy, that guy.
They work together, but I mean, yeah, I mean, come on. You're not going to be able, if you're trying to build consensus, if you and I decide we're going to try to build consensus on where we're going to go to dinner tonight, we are going to have a certain amount of difficulty doing it. If we introduce our wives, it's going to take longer. If we introduce our mother-in-laws, it's going to take longer. If we introduce our best friend from work, it's going to take longer. And yes, will we have a better, broader scope? And will we be choosing from a broad? Yes.
Will we consider more options?
Will we consider more options? But are we guaranteed to have a better dinner? No.
I wasn't even thinking Korean barbecue.
You went Taiwanese fusion, and I was thinking burgers.
By the way, speaking of, just to keep it because we're on point here, Damon, I'm going to the House of Prime Rib. Any recommendations? This is from Interstellar Dreaming. Yes, first of all, if it's your first time at House of Prime Rib, there are only three things to order. King cut, baked potato, cream spinach. They bring you the salad. You get the Yorkshire pudding. It's done. If you're a House of Prime Rib regular, ask them to take that prime rib back to the kitchen and sear it. If you've been there before, get the sear. If you've never been there before, just go House of Prime Rib the way it's supposed to be. But the sear for the initiated.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are all good advice. I mean, the nice thing about House of Prime Rib is it's a really easy place to order from. I'm going to have a chicken filet. No. You're at the House of Prime Rib. Have prime rib. And then I would say, they'll give you options sometimes. You know, do you want it a little bit more rare? Do you want this? Do you want that? I like the little bit more rare. But also the Caesar is just amazing. And you got to get yourself a couple of their
cocktails. It's not a Caesar salad. Oh, yeah. And you absolutely need the Eagle Rye Manhattan served in the
bottle. You got to get a couple of good cocktails because it's an awesome cocktail place.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yes, this is very, very important and good advice. We're happy that you asked. You've come to the right place. By the way, make sure you check out Ike's when you need a sandwich for lunch. Thanks so much to Ike's. Thanks to our friends at the Dubliner West Portal, best Guinness in all of San Francisco. And it's good to have everyone here. Hit like and subscribe. We got some headlines to go through, Larry, but why don't you thank a couple of your sponsors first?
Yeah, well, thank you very much to Pig in a Pickle, the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. They're going to soon open in Petaluma here in 2026. We'll be there for the grand opening. Thanks to Damon and Mary. Get some brisket chili. Tell them that Krug sent you. Also, thanks to our good friends at Sleeper. You know Sleeper for fantasy football, but they also have this thing called Team Picks. So if you're already on Sleeper for fantasy, it's waiting there for you. If you're new, Sleeper continues to be an all-in-one platform for following your teams and staying connected to the action. So thanks to Sleeper. Also, we just got back from spring training. We picked up some sponsors along the way. Thank you, Alomar Marina. Alomar Marina, one of the greatest lunch spots in Sacramento. If you want to have lunch or breakfast while you're floating on the Sacramento River, check this place out. 5999 Garden Highway, alomarmarina.net on the web. They're open Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 7, Sunday, 9 to 4. Have the shrimp tacos while you float. You can actually get your boat, drive up, park your boat, and then go inside and have lunch. It's an awesome spot. Check them out. And also thanks to Novato Chevrolet. Go see my guy, David Corral. He is the man to go see. He'll get you a fantastic deal. What a great dealership. It's been there for decades. Novato Chevrolet. Damon, you know me. When I buy a Chevrolet, I only buy it from Novato Chevrolet. And I always go see my man, David Corral. So check them out in Novato. And thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles as well for sponsoring our trip to Arizona. Damon, we kind of buried the lead. There are several. I'll throw you the Barrows reports of the morning.
Yes.
And then you tell me what direction you want to go. So here they are. The 49ers are pursuing deals with Eddie Pinheiro and punter Thomas Morstead. This is according to Matt Barrows.
There's really nothing to talk about there. Go get those deals done. There's nothing to consider. Give both of those guys who are very good at their jobs the financial freedom that will allow them to continue to be very good at their jobs. I like both the 49ers place kicker and the punter. Yeah. Don't mess with something that actually worked really well last year. Put that right to bed.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You're not going to have a lot of continuity because there's going to be some turnover on D. You got to have some continuity somewhere. Special teams might be that spot. All right. Jalen Phillips, former Dolphin, current Eagle, who I did see smiling walking out of the link after the Niners beat the Eagles, which always makes me kind of wonder. But according to Matt Barrows, once again, Matt Barrows is really all over this. Jalen Phillips is a player that could make sense for the 49ers to target in free agency.
Okay, so he's young enough. He's talented enough. He's productive enough. He fits healthy? The wide nine. Is he healthy? That's a question for sure. I like the player. I like the idea for sure.
Yeah.
Great
rusher.
It would look at it this way. You sign Jalen Phillips. You're not looking edge first round. You're probably.
Oh yeah. No question. And you're out of the Crosby and you're out of the Hendrickson and you're at, you know, so that's one thing to consider. Okay. We just roll through these and we'll roll through these little Matt Barrows things and then you can jump in and we can start discuss any of them. Okay. According to Coach Yak, he's got this out of some Zach Blatt from The Athletic, not Matt Barrows, but also still The Athletic. He says, at the NFL Combine, several in league circles have said the 49ers are looking for a second-round pick plus more to move Mac Jones, which, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to sit here and, oh, I told you so, but I told you so. I mean, I basically literally said what people are saying, maybe a third, maybe a fourth. I'm like, it's going to be a second and a player.
Well, I've been saying it better be a haul because I knew that there was going to be something up when there was an effort coming out of Combine Week that, oh, there really isn't a Mac Jones market. Like I said,
the French, right.
French call that bullshit. There is, of course, going to be a Mac Jones market. And right. It's funny.
Nobody wants this young quarterback that has ability when we could take donkeys who are, you know, it's like, yeah. There's no. Yeah, okay, thanks. Nobody wants Mac Jones. I'm like, and people that were going with that, like it was like fact. It's like, dude, how are you so easily buffaloed? I need you to come to my next poker game.
Like I said, pick your pundits carefully, folks. There's a lot of people out there who are doing this who probably shouldn't be. There you go.
Okay, a couple other notes. The Niners have mutual interest in bringing back Ben Bartsch this offseason. I've been talking about that I think that Bartsch is one of their favorites. They like Bartsch.
It's a pretty move, Larry. I think he's a guy who could play either guard spot if they need him to. I mean, this might be your starting left guard. This is something that for an offensive line that needs some depth, he is either a starting piece or a depth piece, and at the right price, he's a good re-sign, especially if Burford walks away for big dollars that you don't want to give him.
Well, that's the next note. Matt Barrows is also reporting, my man Raj retweeting this, the 49ers are expecting left guard Spencer Burford to get away in free agency. You know, that he could get an offer north of $10 million a year. Heck, he could get an offer $19 million a year based on what we've seen offensive linemen get paid in recent years. Either way, Damon, I think the Niners know it far exceeds what they're willing to do for Burford.
It's so too bad it didn't work out, man. I know that Trent Williams was very excited about him early in his career. I was really excited about him early in his career, but he didn't have he didn't stack great days and great off seasons on top of each other to be at the spot that he's supposed to be in right now is a real difference maker. He's a good offensive lineman. I'm not saying he's a bad offensive lineman. Is he a difference maker? Not really. He's just a player. So
he's all right. He's got a great body for the game. He's got the exact build you're looking for. He's got long arms. He's pretty athletic. He's very smart. You know, there's a lot to like there, but I at the end of the day, I think he's kind of just a guy. One other note, Coach Yak says ESPN's Dan Graziano is predicting that Romeo Doubs will sign a 3-year, $49 million contract with $30 million guaranteed with the Niners. Graziano's quote, Doubs is still just 25 years old, turns 26 in April, and is viewed by teams as a receiver who can thrive in a number of different schemes. He could be the guy this year that you look to and say, wow, he got that much. Doubs caught 55 balls for 724 yards and 6 touchdowns in 2025, I think with like 80-something targets.
I'd rather see Wendell Robinson than Romeo Doubs. But for a guy who covers a team that can't be that picky about its wide receivers because they basically have half a receiver on their roster right now in Ricky Pearsall, who's going to argue against Doubs joining the 49ers? I wouldn't do that. I don't think he is the perfect guy. It's probably an overspend. What will he actually produce? But I would, yeah, I mean, sure. The Niners are a better team with that move. I would do that move.
Couple other notes on wide receivers to add a little to this conversation. Coach Yak is asking, because there's talk that the Niners, there was a report last night, that the Niners have interest in both Romeo Doubs and Alec Pierce. Now, are they going to sign them both?
No.
They're not going to have both, but they have no wide receivers. So they absolutely have to be really, really front and center. And the talk is that Pierce is going to get between 25 and 28 a year.
Yeah.
And
I don't like him at that price point, Larry. I really like him at $22 million. I don't think I like you at all at $28 million. I would move on.
Yeah, that's too much. That's too much. And also, Albert Breer is listing Indiana wide receiver Omar Cooper Jr. as a nice fit for the 49ers. And now here is the question. Is Omar Cooper Jr. a special enough overall mover as an athlete to take him in the first round? Or is he a really solid collegiate receiver that, you know, that's a little muted as far as, you know, as far as being great, and he's more of a second round guy?
How about this?
What do you think? You is watch there, him all the time.
Is there anybody who would stump for him to be a first rounder more than I? No. I mean, what he delivered, what he did, the catch that he made against Penn State goes down in the history of college football as one of the most important catches that turned a season into an undefeated national championship with a huge win at Happy Valley. He made some big catches in the national championship game. He's a good, 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 good player. I'm not spending a first round pick on Omar Cooper Jr. I would want him on the team. I would love to see him on the team, but not at the cost of a first round pick when you have way too many in the trenches problems. Building your football team from the outside in is always the wrong way to go about it, in my opinion, especially with a player that, again, I should be his single biggest cheerleader, and you don't hear me rooting for the Niners to go Omar Cooper Jr. at 27. No one would enjoy it more than me. Nobody would want to go down there and interview him more than me. Nobody would want to take him out to lunch and become friends with the guy more than me. He delivered one of the single greatest happy moments of my entire freaking life. I don't think he's the pick at 27, Larry.
I mean, it's a weird thing. Okay, why? Because I'm a believer, and I'll talk about it after the draft a lot, and you've heard me talk about it over and over again, that the whole round thing is a bunch of bullshit. You know, it's like either the guy's a player or he ain't a player. Like either he's going to be a good player or he's not. But then, you know, there's degrees of everything, right? You know, you want to get the special athletes in the first round. But I look at this Indiana team, and I see several players that are all kind of fitting the same kind of vibe, which is they're damn good players. And the more you watch them, the more you want them. And the more you watch them, the more you're like, you vow to make sure that you get them.
They're well coached. They're disciplined. They're productive. I mean, everything you want to see on tape.
There's a lot of toughness here, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot, and all the key skill position guys, they all block. You know, Kalen Black blocks. Surratt and Cooper block. You know what I mean? So there's like, there's that. And then, but it's like these Indiana guys, like I love Pons, but he's tiny, but I still love him. And I think he's better than Upton Stout. And I think Upton Stout's really, really good. So even though Pons is small, I think he's one of the safest picks in the entire draft. Even though Kalon Black is there's a ton of running backs in this, or you know, there's always a lot of running back options. There's something really, really special about Kalon Black. There's something really, really special about Mikhail Kamara. And it's like I'm looking at these guys. There's something really, really special. I can't believe I'm gonna say this about Pat Coogan. So Indiana won the national championship. They had a very special year. Then and Cignetti's a special coach. But these players are very special players, too. And if you told me, like, there's two or three different game plans that I'm thinking about in this draft. One, I love the LSU players. Great prospects. They get great recruits. But I love these Indiana players. And, I mean, if I came out of this draft, if I were the Niners and they came out of this draft with Pons and Kamara and Kalon Black,
I'd be doing
cartwheels, absolute cartwheels.
I mean,
love those players.
To go from
black,
the cream and crimson to the red and gold. I mean, forget it. At that point, you just go ahead and you trade Purdy and you start Curtis Rourke, and it's the West Coast Hoosiers, baby. Let's go.
But I mean, CJ West is another example of this. Curtis Rourke is another example of this. These are good young football players, but they're really, really high character guys. And the Niners are looking for that.
And that matters.
So you know what? That might be the Indiana theme might be a theme worth pursuing. Now, I'm going to share the screen on this because Matt Barrows has this.
By the way, when we talk about high character guys, let me just let everyone know that we're not talking about like Boy Scouts, guys you would want dating your sister. It's not about that. It's about work ethic. It's about what do you do in the gym when no one is in there watching you? What do you do when everyone's trying to make a TikTok video? Are you doing another rep at practice? Or are you trying to be like an online presence? None of these guys from IU were looking to get the bigger shine on them or take days off. I mean, these are discipline, stacking discipline on top of days of discipline players. And that to me is the culture fit.
Yeah, I mean, they are what I would call the character examples. You know what I mean? This is what you're looking for. Guys, like when you're in the room and you're, you know, months before the draft, what are we looking for here? This is what we're looking for. You know, when everything you're looking for in a corner except for height is there with D'Angelo Pons. Everything you're looking for at running back is there with Kalon Black. Everything I'm looking for as a receiver, pretty much outside of real special traits, is there with Omar Cooper. I mean, and Mikhail Kamara is absolutely one of my favorite defensive ends. There's no doubt in my mind that he is going to be an impact guy. He's a 6-foot defensive end who's going to go in the fifth or sixth round. And yet there's no doubt in my mind he can play because he's done it. And the guy's an absolute beast.
Right. And he's winning in the trenches in the Big Ten. He's winning in the trenches in the postseason run, which brought Indiana to
against Maui Goa.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you, though, if that game had gone to overtime, Miami would have won it. The size of their offensive line was officially wearing out Indiana's defense in that game. Miami's strength was their offensive line, and they still came up
their line, period. I mean, how about Reuben Bain?
Yeah.
Reuben Bain and Mesidor on that D line. I mean, Jesus, they have better DNs than the Niners. All right. That being said, Matt Barrows will share the screen here. This is a Barrows tweet, and he's obviously got an article up right now at The Athletic, and I would encourage all of you guys to read it. I'm sure it's a little bit of a Niner preview of free agency. But Damon, he asks an interesting question here. Jalen Phillips and David Onyemata, John Franklin Myers and Arnold Ebiketie. You know, he's basically throwing out the Niners. Lynch said, hey, our number one goal is to upgrade the defensive front. So maybe they go with a couple signings. It sounds like Barrows thinks they may.
Well, here's the thing.
Onyemata was with Raheem Morris in Atlanta, and so was Ebiketie. So those guys kind of make sense. Phillips and Franklin Myers are really good. Which is the duo?
Should be the big spend. If you're talking about who's the big spend, now that, you know, Tyler Linderbaum is not going to be available, John Franklin Myers, to me, is the guy who would fit what we think is going to be a diversified defensive front. Sometimes the Niners are going to line up with four. Sometimes they're going to line up with five. They might even flip into a little bit of a 3-4 at times. John Franklin Myers can play. He's an edge rusher who can slip inside and give you good D tackle interior rush reps. To me, that is the 49. There is no probably two spots in football that just take really good collegiate production, chew it up and throw it out. Then wide receiver and defensive lineman. You can get crushed in the NFL because you were good at either in college doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good in the pros. I want a guy who's proven. I want a guy who you're not hesitating to put out there and play. You've got enough, I think, young defensive line talent that you're developing and you're excited about that I wouldn't want to add more young defensive line talent as much as I'm looking to add proven defensive line talent, going back to Jalen Phillips, going back to Jonathan Franklin Myers. To me, these are the guys where I would be making my spend.
I don't know that you can go wrong here, to be completely honest. I think that you're in a good spot either way. Let's take a look at their ages. John Franklin Myers is 6'4", 290. He's 29.
I mean, that means he's in the prime of his career.
Yeah. So I just want to see what's the age of Onyemata. Onyemata's been around the block a while, too. Now, I really like Onyemata. He was really good with the Saints. He's 33, so he's older. He's an older guy.
You want to talk about older guys, Larry? I mean, you want to talk about older guys, a guy that I don't think you'd be spending an awful lot of money on at all. You can go ahead, you can get out and get him. Dude, Cam Jordan. He's out.
Yeah, I don't think he's brought back.
He's not going to be brought back by New Orleans. He was 10 and a half sacks last year. The Niners are not in the business of turning up their nose at 10 and a half sacks at any age. I think it would be a reasonably priced ad.
I don't know. That one I'm not as crazy about. I think you're going to have to pay more. I think it's not going to be reasonably priced. I think it's going to cost you. But of these two duos, I think I would go the more I think about this, the more I think I would go with Franklin Myers and Ebiketie, just because Jalen Phillips, there's an injury concern. Onyemata's a little bit past the prime at 33. I like Onyemata, though, but Phillips' injuries, especially coming to the Niners, it just seems like, you know, that's just too. He's been injured an awful lot. I would probably go. It's probably going to cost you more to go with Franklin Myers and Ebiketie, but I think if these are my choices, I'll go with Franklin Myers over Ebiketie. Franklin Myers,
that's the guy, Larry.
He was terrific this summer. I mean, he really. You know, we talked a lot about Nick Benito, and Nick Benito was up for the Defensive Player of the Year. But Benito would tell you all day, every day, that Franklin Myers was a huge key to his success.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the Cowboy Justin Smith unlocking Alden Smith, right?
Yeah, you got to have that interior rusher. Now let's talk.
Jonathan Franklin Myers is the guy that they had hoped Yetur Gross-Matos might have been for them. Very versatile, can play inside, outside, as an edge, as a D tackle. He's just a defensive lineman. You can line him up anywhere on the defensive line. He'll go get the quarterback. He'll make a play. He'll make a tackle. That to me is the, you know, we're looking at free agents as like liquor bottles on the shelf. You're only allowed to go to that top shelf liquor bottle once in free agency, given the Niners cap situation. That's the bottle of liquor I would grab. Jonathan Franklin Myers would be my biggest spend. Then I would hope to get a Wandale Robinson off the board as an experience.
You keep calling him Wendell. His name's Wandale, but whatever.
Wandale. How about this? When they sign him, I'll worry about getting it right.
Yeah. Wandale. It's funny. Wandale's caught a lot of balls the last couple of years. He was great at Kentucky.
I want volume. Yeah. I want guys who do it.
I mean, the other story this morning that we haven't touched on is that there's a lot of smoke around Max Crosby, and the Niners are, according to the reports, are one of the teams that are interested in Crosby.
I'm calling bullshit on that, Larry. I'm calling bullshit. They don't have the assets.
We don't know what the price tag is. You know, I mean, there's a lot of speculation that they want a Micah Parsons trade, but then there's been other speculation that they'll take a first and a third. But the reporting on this is pretty obvious that the 49ers, I forget who had it with Rossini or somebody, that the Niners are one of the teams that are talking to the Raiders about Max Crosby. So that's something to watch. You know, supposedly the Niners are interested in Trey Hendrickson. So obviously it's an either or situation. You're not getting both these guys.
Now, wait a minute. We're talking about top shelf liquor. Like Trey Hendrickson is the Pappy Van Winkle that I didn't think that we were even going to be talking about off the menu. If the Niners are thinking about adding, go spend money on Trey Hendrickson before you give away assets to get Max Crosby.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, first of all, who do you think's better as a player?
I mean, I think that they're very comparable.
I think it's Hendrickson. Hendrickson had 17 and a half sacks. I think Trey Hendrickson's better than Bosa.
And I'll say this, that they're both existing basically on a defensive line of one. You know, Trey Hendrickson, name the other Bengals defensive lineman. I freaking dare you. Max Crosby, name the other Raiders defensive lineman. I dare you. They're nobody. They're out there singularly kicking ass.
Don't forget about Shamar Stewart. Don't forget mm-hmm. Shamar Stewart.
Yeah.
But I hear you. But, you know, supposedly the Ravens reportedly are ready to outbid the Niners and others for Max Crosby. David Bonilla, 49er Web Zone. The Athletic recently reported that the Niners are among several teams showing interest in Crosby. Jordan Schultz, NFL Insider, notes that the Raiders have become increasingly open to the possibility of moving Crosby. They still want a big package. According to Jason LaCanfora, the Ravens may already be preparing a proposal that the Niners would struggle to match. Baltimore holds the 14th pick and reportedly is willing to include that selection in a deal for Crosby. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think the Raiders are getting two number ones, but the Niners with the 27th pick in the first round are going to be, you know, their asses out. You know, I mean, they're not going to be able to. I don't think it's going to take multiple ones, but it's going to take a one. And their one is so deep in the first round that what are the odds that the teams competing with them for Crosby have a lower one? Probably the odds are they have a higher one. So it's going to be very difficult.
How about this? Unless it's Seattle coming after him.
Well, there is talk. Talk that Seattle wants him.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody wants Max Crosby. That's a guy any team would want. You know, want and can are two totally different things when it comes to making a trade for a player of that caliber. So
here's the other one, Damon, that is out there this morning. Dove Kleiman, you know Dove, right, from Denver. He says the Raiders will look to bring in a veteran quarterback as they prefer not to start Fernando Mendoza immediately, according to Diana Rossini. Vegas continues to lean towards drafting Mendoza. But is it possible that the Raiders, who we kind of thought of as, oh, well, they're going Mendoza, they won't be interested in Mac Jones. And yet we saw Tom Brady and Mac Jones, you know, talking on the sideline before the game in the playoffs. Is it possible that the Raiders would try to get Mendoza and Mac Jones?
Sure. I guess anything's possible, but to me, the fit there, if we're, you know, I don't know. I didn't see it from Dove Kleiman. I saw it from Diana Rossini. She came out with the same thing today.
Yeah.
To me, that's got Kirk Cousins screaming, right? That's got Kirk Cousins written all over it. If you're looking to pair a super good, valuable teammate, super Jesus-y, just like Fernando Mendoza, those two guys can trade Bibles and stuff like the Kirk Cousins Fernando Mendoza pairing feels a lot more natural and in the proper order than, I mean, Mendoza really? Might be able to.
I don't look at it that way at all. I look at it this way. Like, if you're Kirk Cousins, why are you playing? You played for money. You have money. You played for the ring. You have no ring. If you're still playing, I think you're either gonna want to play and not get killed, and you're gonna sign up behind that bad line, or you want to win that Super Bowl. So I don't know. I know a lot of people have speculated about this. I kind of think Kirk Cousins to the Niners is really live. Why? Because think about it. Think about, he's already made all the money, and he still wants to play. And his wife's like, "Honey, don't play." And his kids are like, "Dad, don't play. Why are you playing? I want to win."
Well,
guys, I know we've made $331 million and we have seven houses and you have, you know, but we need a few more bucks and Dad needs to be in a wheelchair. It's like, what?
What? No, I think he wants to do. You watch that QB series on Netflix. I think he's into mentorship. I really do. I think he would be into being the, hey, I'm going to be the spot starter until I hand the reins over to Mendoza. And then I am basically retired as an active backup quarterback. And if I can get Mendoza up and running by week 8, by week 10, that will best serve the Raiders.
I know, but here with the Niners, you could be a mentor to Purdy, a mentor to Rourke, a mentor to anybody else they draft.
Brock doesn't need a mentor.
And
Brock is the mentor at this point.
No, the Niners need a quarterback who can win games for them. And that's the thing. Then don't trade Mac Jones. Well, no, but you need to trade Mac Jones. They have to trade Mac Jones because they have a terrible roster right now. They have to get 12 to 13 needs. There's no way they can do this without trading Mac Jones.
I don't think that you can.
Yes, you can. You can have both. You can trade Mac Jones and you can sign Kirk Cousins. And now you have a veteran backup that is ready to step in for Purdy. And
what's the cost on Cousins? What's the price on Cousins to bring him in? What do you think that would be?
What would the contract cost?
Yeah.
I would say between 5 and 10 mil.
I was about to say, it's probably closer to 10. It's probably a $10 million deal. What are you going to guarantee him $10 million over 1 year? I think I'd rather roll with Curtis Rourke.
Why would it be 10? He's made $330 million. You're telling me that he now needs $10 million to back up?
Well, if you're his agent, you're not going to feel like giving Groupons just to be friendly.
Do you want to be with Kyle? Do you want to be in a great situation? Do you want to potentially? I mean, let's be honest. Brock Purdy gets hurt, and you could be sitting there. I mean, if you're Kirk Cousins, I think you're playing for the ring.
If you're not playing
to mentor people, you're playing for the ring. You're playing to either get that ring for yourself, or you know, preferably as a starter, but even as a backup, I think he wants a ring.
I just want to see.
I think that's why he's playing.
He's 37 years old now. Kirk Cousins is. He's officially older. I mean, to me, another reason why you'd maybe want to do it is because there's always been that Shanahan Kirk Cousins thing. But because of that, that's almost the reason why you can't do it. I mean, the minute Brock Purdy throws an interception or has a bad game, Grant Cohn is going to be talking about how Kirk Cousins could do better.
Nobody, and that's the quarterback. Nobody fears that. That's a non-factor, man. Even Grant would admit that's a non-factor. Yeah, I mean, you're right. There will be people saying, hey, get him in there, this and that. But that's just the nature of the beast. Heck, if Curtis Rourke has three good preseason games and Brock Purdy starts off 0-2, there'll be people saying, hey, Rourke.
Curtis Rourke. Yeah, I
mean, so come on. If Adrian Martinez has an awesome preseason and Brock starts 0-3, there'll be people saying Adrian Martinez.
Why did they take Omar Cooper at 27? Because he's got experience with Curtis Rourke. But connect the dots.
couple other things we got to mention here, though.
Can I bring up my single least favorite thing? Maybe the Niners have done all time.
Go ahead.
The San Francisco 49ers have hired the single worst coach in the history of the Chicago Bears in Matt Eberflus. Someone who grew up rooting for the Chicago Bears, watched Matt Eberflus prove himself beyond income. Now, the Bears were bad, but he went ahead and he went out of their way to make them even worse. The single longest losing streak in the history of the Chicago Bears happened on Matt Eberflus's watch. Three terrible seasons, a 304 winning percentage, 14-game losing streak for the Chicago Bears under this guy. And I'm going to tell you,
what about the disaster against the Commanders? Remember that, where the Bears player was talking to fans at the end of the game and the Commanders came back and beat them?
Yes.
How about the last game for Eberflus, where he took a timeout into the locker room that he could have used?
He is. Now, here's the thing. Situations dictate careers, and I guess that means coaches apply to that too. He has been in bad situations that he was incapable of making better. So why this is the ad, I read a Niners Noise or one of the websites saying, you know, he's really good with linebackers. All right, great. That's super. This guy was so bad, Bears fans actually missed Matt Nagy. That's how bad he was. This made me think John Fox might have been good at it. I mean, he was awful. And then you go back and you look. Niners Nation wrote this down. Looking at the cumulative statistics from 2018 through 21, when he was the defensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts, the Colts were 12th in EPA per play and 18th in defensive success rate. When he was with the Bears, they were 29th in EPA and 26th. This past year, he went to Dallas. Dallas had one of the worst defenses in NFL history this year. They were 32nd in EPA and 31st in play rate success.
They did lose Micah Parsons before the season started. You got to factor that in. I will say this. I picked up the phone yesterday and I called my friend Tom Thayer. Who is the Bears?
I know Tom,
color analyst.
Yes,
and I said, Tom, let's talk Eberflus. And Tom's like, Krug. He's like, I've got an ESPN event tonight. Otherwise, I'd pop on the radio and talk about him. But I think it's probably best that I don't, because I don't have anything good to say about him.
I don't have anything good to say about Matt Eberflus either, other than welcome to the Bay Area. Good luck, buddy. You suck.
I mean, this is the Bears color analyst. It's like, I don't have a lot of good things to say.
No.
So whatever. No, but, I have no problem with hiring an extra coach. Why? Because there's no cap on this. And if they feel like he's going to fit in and they want some continuity and he's good with linebackers. You know, that's fine.
Larry, he's a great hire as long as you stick him in a corner and tell him to shut the fuck up in every meeting.
I mean,
just fill a chair. Just shut up, Matt Eberflus. Shut up.
You know, I think he's decent. He's a decent coach. I don't know if he's, what exactly he's going to do with the Niners. You got to remember this. He's replacing Gus Bradley. Do we even know what Gus Bradley did? So he's a consultant. He's another set of eyes. If he has some specialty with the linebackers, I will say this. Eberflus as a player was a walk-on at Toledo who then became all Mac. So, I mean, this guy, you know, has a little juice to him as a person. As you know, there aren't too many people that go into college football as a walk-on and then become an all-conference player by the end. That's what he did. So, I mean, that's impressive. I'll give him his. I was thoroughly unimpressed by him in watching the Bears Hard Knocks. He didn't seem like he had much of a presence. He didn't seem like he had a lot of strength. He didn't seem overly technical and like unbelievably wise. So we'll see. But that's one of the stories of the day is that
look at it this way. You're going to need to stop sucking at football for me to say you don't suck at this. Okay. It's just that simple. Like if he's a part of a Niners defense that really comes together, we'll reevaluate Matt Eberflus once we see him in training camp and putting his hands on players and what is he really doing and who is he really coaching and how is he really helping? If we ever get the answers to that, again, Gus Bradley was here and we still don't even really have those answers either. We don't know much about the assistant coaches, but Matt Eberflus in charge of anything has yet to produce anything good in football. So we'll see. Speaking of Mac success stories, Larry, the other story and the other assistant coach that I'm a lot more excited about, even though I never heard of his name or thought about him until I saw the headline, the 49ers are bringing an assistant offensive line coach from Kent State. They've hired, now I don't know if it's Angel or Angel, or how he pronounces it. Matute, is that his last name? M-A-T-U-T-E. Angel Matute? Angel Matute? I don't know. No one's ever heard of this guy because he was coaching offensive line at Kent State, but production matters. And apparently Kent State cut back its sack total from an offensive line standpoint from 43 to 27 last season. He helped improve their rushing average by over 20 yards per game. From the golden flashes of Kent State to the red and gold of the San Francisco 49ers. And I'm just going to say this. Who knows? Really good coaches can come from humble beginnings. Coaches can come from humble beginnings. Maybe he really helps this offensive line. Maybe he, I don't know, but
he's the backup O-line coach. And the reason they hired him is they promoted their backup O-line coach to the tight end coach. So Fleury left to Seattle. Cam Clemens jumps from backup O-line coach to tight end coach. They promote internally, and then they give Chris Foerster this guy. Now, I don't know anything about
what would be great Angel if he came in and his first note was like, we should probably improve the center position right away. If he offers that note, he's the third best coach in the room.
You know, here's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of debate. I know you're hot to trot on the O-line. Lombardi is throwing out a million stats that he thinks the offensive line is not a problem. He's got a million. He's got the stats. You're just saying it. He's got the stats.
Yeah. I got no Super Bowls.
They got tackles that are in the 95th and 97th percentile.
We're not talking tackles.
Yeah, so I mean, their offensive line is not as bad as people want to say it is. I mean, it really is. It's just not. Do they have issues with their offensive line? Yes. And the question is, and there's some talk today about what are the 49ers going to do offensive line wise, in free agency. And there's a lot of talk about the 49ers signing a couple offensive linemen. Now, I would say they are likely. You know, Lynch said it. He said, hey, we're going to be targeted in our approach to free agency. Well, where's the target? the target's left guard. They're letting Burford walk. They're going to replace him, you know, with a new left guard. So they're looking for a left guard. The two names that keep coming up, one is Dylan Parham, who plays for the Raiders, and he's kind of a brawler, kind of a tough guy. Parham is a name that I've heard mentioned to them. Suamulo, his
Suamulo from the Steelers. I like him. Isaac Suamulo. That's the guy I would throw some money at. I think that Vera Tucker from the New York Jets is an option. Don't go after Mekhi Becton. He just had a washout season with the Chargers.
Yes, Suamulo, the former Eagle who's in Pittsburgh, or what if maybe is he a former Steeler that was in Philly? Who's a former Eagle that went to Pittsburgh. Anyway, his sister is on the 49ers scouting staff. So that's, and he's a 32-year-old guard. He's a 10-year veteran, but, you know, he's a good scheme fit. So I could see Suamulo. I could see Parham. I really have always liked Dylan Parham. Dylan Parham is a fighter. I mean, he's an absolute fighter. He's got limited movement ability, but this guy will absolutely fight you in a phone booth all day, every day. He's really, really tough. So that to me would be a very intriguing ad if you could get him away from the Raiders. And, you know, this is the way it goes. It's like this is a coaching position. So, I mean, like Laken Tomlinson was having a disaster career with Detroit. He came to the Niners and had a really nice run and then cashed out a few years later. Green Bay.
Forgot how to play.
And then there's other guys where, you know, the Niners last year had Aaron Banks and where are you going to sign him? Are you not? They're like, you know what? We're not going to sign him. We're going to let him walk. Green Bay paid him an absurd amount of money in free agency, and they're really not happy that they did. But Parham, I think, is interesting because he's only 26. He's a 4-year veteran, and he's a solid player. I mean, I really like this guy. He played collegiately at Memphis, and he's just tough. He's just really, really, really tough guy. And that's a 26-year-old center in Dylan Parham. That would be nice. That would be a nice ad because if you sign Parham, he could be your center, or he could be your starting left guard for the next decade. You know, I mean, these guys play oftentimes 15 years in the NFL. This guy's played 4 years. So if you could get Dylan Parham, I think that would be a nice addition for the Niners for sure.
Krug, it's something that you brought up on Niners Nightly when we were talking about a possible thinking of trading Trent Williams because Houston had expressed some interest and he's a Texas guy. And obviously the D'Amico Ryans connection is an easy one to make too. And there was talk about a second rounder for John Lynch, or excuse me, a second rounder offered for Trent Williams to John Lynch. If would you do it? If they really put a second rounder on the table for an amount of money that he costs, to me, this would completely reprioritize what you might do in free agency or certainly in the draft. It better be Monroe Freeling at that damn point, you know, or Caden Proctor or Caleb Lomo, who's ever there at 27. It would radically change what you think the Niners need, and it would radically change about, you know, whatever Dave Lombardi, the offensive line is okay. The minute you trade Trent Williams, your offensive line is in Dutch until you have a real replacement for him. But I'd consider it, but I don't know if there's any truth to it, because did you see the Texans reached a deal with Trent Brown? They did that yesterday. So they're bringing him back. Trent Brown came in and played well. He's just often injured and usually unavailable. But I think Trent Brown completely X's out any talk of Trent Williams.
Well, who's their other tackle? Didn't they just trade Titus Howard? They traded Titus Howard the other day. They have Ursary, the rookie from Minnesota, at left tackle right now. And now Ed Ingram's the right guard, and they just brought in Trent Brown to be the right tackle. So I don't know. I mean, you know, yeah, if they Ursary, you know, is a good player, but he was also a little bit of a baptism by fire, as you saw with Will Campbell, as you see with lots of young offensive linemen, which is, I think, why the Niners, if they go upgrade the offensive line, I think it's probably going to be in free agency. I don't think it's going to be in the draft, because I think they realize that the best offensive tackles all go in the first round, and then you got to coach them up. And there's some rough spots there. So, I mean, heck, we saw Will Campbell. I mean, Will Campbell was a top five pick. He got his ass kicked in the Super Bowl repeatedly and consistently.
But that was a tremendous Seattle offensive line, and I don't think there are any regrets. I mean, you could say that Will Campbell did poorly in the Super Bowl. You could also say Will Campbell is one of the reasons why this team, you know, completely overshot whatever its preseason goals were and reached a Super Bowl.
Here's the thing about the Texans for a second. Let's talk about this for just a second. They drafted C.J. Stroud. He was terrible this year. In the playoffs, he was horrible, absolutely horrible. They still think he's their guy. So what's their solution? Their solution is, hey, we've got to be better around C.J. So what do? They traded for David Montgomery, the running back from Detroit. That helps their run game for sure. They brought in Trent Brown. I would not be surprised if they offered Ursary and some day three pick for Trent Williams, or maybe Ursary and a third round pick. Because think about it. If you're D'Amico, first of all, you don't get forever. You know, not everybody's Kyle Shanahan who's going to get a decade. Most of these guys, it's like they get 4 or 5 years and it's like, it's go time. So do you want to go?
There's no ticking clock on D'Amico at this point in time, though. He's regarded as one of the reasons why the Texans are pointed in the right direction.
You don't get forever. And if their plan is to make it work with C.J. Stroud, you could make an argument that they absolutely would be interested in Trent Williams. So I don't know. I'm not sure how that's going to shake out. But when I hear Houston, where Trent is from, and I know D'Amico has great affinity for Trent, and I'm hearing trade talks there, and I'm looking at what Houston's doing, and I don't think C.J. Stroud's the guy, but they're trying to force it. So they're going to bring in Montgomery, trying to improve the offensive line, you know, and come back next year. They've already drafted all these young receivers, right? They have Nico Collins, and they have, they've got Tank Dell, and they got Jalen Knoll, Jaden Watkins, or Higgins. They got a bunch of young receivers. So I think I would not be surprised if the 49ers could get Ariante Ursary and a pick for Trent Williams, I think the 49ers should do it. I really do. I think they should get down the road. He's 38. He's not going to – what has he got, Damon? What has he got, 1 year, 2 years?
Right. If we're talking about number of games, does he have 25 NFL starts left in his body?
That's what he's got. He's got 25 starts. I think that if you said make an estimate, that would be my estimate. He's got about 25 starts over 2 years. So I would say he's going to play 2 years. But once again, you got a left tackle who's a talented player, but he's young. And if you could replace him with Trent Williams, I know this sounds crazy. I would take Ariante Ursary in a fifth-round pick for Trent Williams. Why? Because Ariante Ursary, you can plug in at left tackle for Trent Williams. And now you've got a young left tackle. Yes, he needs to be coached up. Yes, he's nothing close to Trent Williams. But at least you got a replacement, and then you get a day three pick. I think that could be a cost-effective price for Houston. I think there's a deal to be had there. I really do.
So now if we're talking about, all right, Trent Williams could be in play, who in God's name isn't at that point? I mean, at that point, the phone starts ringing and you're asking questions about Nick Bosa. You're asking questions about maybe Christian McCaffrey. Fred Warner.
There's another report out there, Damon, not to interrupt, but there's another report that says that if the Niners somehow could get Dre Greenlaw back, that they would part ways in a trade with Fred. I don't know. You know, all these things. This is the lying season. This is the speculation.
Nick Martin better be ready to play. That's all I can tell you if that were to happen.
Yeah, you better be ready to draft some backers. I mean, they need to upgrade. But it's a good question. It's like, do they try to upgrade around this fivesome of future Hall of Famers they have? Or do they
move on from Kittle?
Yeah, I don't know about Kittle, because Kittle's such a face of the franchise, but Trent, Fred, Nick, Demo, Renardo, Mac Jones. All I'm saying is I will not be surprised. We did this about maybe 2 months ago. We were talking about trades. And I said to you, I'll put the over under on 49er trades at 2.5, and I'll go over. I think I might make that even higher. I think I might make that 3.5. I think this is going to be the offseason of the trade. I think Renardo's going to be traded. I think Pearsall is going to be traded. I think there's a very good chance that Ayuk gets cut or traded. I think there's a chance Trent gets traded. Maybe a couple other guys we're not even thinking of. But I think the trades, I think we're going to see a number of trades.
Well, all right. So this is going to make probably the both of us pretty unpopular, because the last thing any Niner fan wants to hear is any preaching about patience. But if you were to start making trades like that, if you really were starting to take foundational pieces and putting them on the block, what you're talking about at the very, you know, least is a soft reset, if not a rebuild. And I don't know if
what
I think there are reasons to do it, Larry, but I don't know if Shanahan and Lynch are comfortable at this, what feels like the twilight of their regime, without some serious Super Bowl winning results, would be willing to do that. But timing is very important in life. Timing is important in sports. And Larry, I would like to share with you a placard that I saw from Coach Yak's Twitter account that I had on my show yesterday, and here it is. In the last 15 years, the NFC West really has been the best. They've got the best winning percentage of all the divisions. They've got the best point differential, the most playoff wins, the most conference titles, and tied for second with Super Bowl wins. That is an awful lot of 49ers success, but it's also Rams and Seahawks. And the Rams and Seahawks, Larry, are very much in front of where the Niners are. Are you willing to have a reset season while the Rams and Seahawks are in full, you know, you got LA with the reigning MVP making trades for serious lockdown corners.
They're going for it. They got a 38-year-old quarterback. They're going for it.
Super Bowl favorite. It's probably this year's Super Bowl favorite with the defending Super Bowl champion also in the division. Would it be prudent to not say we're white flagging the air before it even starts, but we are not as doggedly trying to win it all now as we are 2 years from now, and that's why we're trading away pieces that you thought would have been untradeable?
I mean, we're at that point. We're at that fork in the road. You want to trade draft picks for veterans to add to the core that you have that should have already won a Super Bowl that hasn't, and try to sneak one in the next year and then try to rebuild the whole thing? Or do you just keep building? And I would say keep building. And, you know, if that means trading away some veterans, then trade away some veterans. Keep building. The number one mistake the Niners have made, the number one mistake the Warriors have made, is that they stopped building. They stopped building. They started looking at, well, if we can just take this shortcut and that shortcut and this shortcut, and we won't worry about who we draft. We'll just trade all these assets and we'll get Giannis and he'll save us. No, you're not going to get Giannis. And now you've got nothing. And now you're a boring team with no future and a bunch of guys that are tired and old. And
you know, what a win over the Houston Rockets. Dude, Kevin Durant, what a great player, but what a terrible leader. How do you let the limping, no one's on the roster tonight Golden State Warriors come into your gym and beat you? That is disgraceful, Houston.
But I mean, look at the Warriors. The Warriors, you know, every time I kept saying, well, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? And like, oh no, we can't do this. We can't do that. We've got to do this. And then they just start making horrible decisions. You know, we're going to trade Jordan Poole for Chris Paul. That was a horrible decision. You're going to trade. Anytime you're trading a 23-year-old guy for a 38-year-old guy, it's a bad decision.
Hey, you probably could have used a young guy like Jonathan Kuminga to, you know, work in and around what? No, I guess not. Okay.
And they asked Dunleavy about Kuminga, and he's like, well, you know, it's not like we didn't know he had talent. And it's like, whatever. Who cares? You're just a placeholding guy. You might as well be selling freaking churros in the upper deck. That's how meaningful you are. You know what I mean? You're sitting there holding a billionaire's hand and you're just like basically the general manager shield, so Joe and his idiot kid can do whatever the fuck they want and drive their franchise into the toilet. But that, because that's what they're going to do, and that's what they have done. They don't have, they got nothing. Now they're talking about the greatness of Pods. Oh my God.
Hey, he has stacked a couple of good games. I'll give Pods that. He has had a couple of good games here. He's not, he can't create anything on his own.
He stinks.
Here's the thing. Pods could be a really good scrappy player if you're giving him 14 to 18 minutes a night off the bench. He's not a foundational piece. He's a nice guy to have on the team. Yeah.
He can't finish in the trees. He can't hit threes with any consistency. What's his 3-point shooting percentage this year?
I don't care.
He can't be good.
I don't look.
The point is, just keep building. Just keep building. Stop labeling yourself a this or a that. We're a contender. We're a this. We can't do this move. We can't do that move. Just keep building. I mean, that's what all these teams do, is they just keep building. Keep making selections, keep making trades. You know, your incremental improvement. Keep trying. Instead, it's like, no, we can't go for this. We can't go for that. No, I mean, just so I just want to, for the Niners, all I would say is you're not there. I mean, what was this year? You know, you got thoroughly dominated in the last three games by your divisional opponents. So what kind of year was this year? Was this a rebuilding year where they had $103 million of dead cap and 26 in undrafted free agent spending and no free agents of note outside of special teams and Mac Jones? I mean, they basically didn't really do much. They said, oh, we're going to make it all be about our draft class. They had a volume draft class, but they only could get about 60% of those guys out on the field. So it kind of got muted. So, I mean, what was last year? I mean, if they win 12 more games and churn over their roster and turn it over a little bit and go with some younger players, I mean, what more can you do? I mean, I don't see them. You're not going to snap your fingers. I mean, the Rams have Stafford and he's 38 and they know that he's at the end, and they know JSN stands between them and the Super Bowl. So they just traded for Trent McDuffie to try to neutralize JSN. If anything, the Niners and their fans should be depressed that two of their, you know, rivals are more fascinated with matching up with each other than matching up with you. They didn't acquire, you know, Trent McDuffie to match up with Ricky freaking Pearsall. I'll tell you that right now. but they sure did to match up with JSN. So the 49ers just have to keep building, but I would say stop. Don't leverage your future for one 30-year-old, whatever, receiver, corner. You know, somebody's like, should the Niners have gone with McDuffie? No. No to McDuffie. No to Matt Crosby. No. They don't need one player. They need 15 players. That's the truth.
I agree. We got about 15, make that 17 supers, Larry. Let's hop in.
All right. And thanks to all of our sponsors for sponsoring the Krug Show and the Plus. And let me just say this, our sponsor for our supers is Habas Law. 1-800-INJURED, they will fight to make it right. HabasLaw.com on the web. If you get a chance, check out the brand new commercials featuring San Jose Sharks star Macklin Celebrini, teamed up with Omar and Tarek Habas of Habas Law. They've got a new series of TV commercials that are out there. Check them out. 1-800-INJURED is their number. They will fight to make it right. Habas Law. All right, let's hit the Super 17, and we'll bolt for the door, and I can actually read them today because my eyes are back.
Hey, right.
Blood Moon, sick of seeing these Cabo picks. I get it. Blow steam off, but the season has since ended 2 months ago. Brock Purdy was in Cabo, but has since returned home training. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, go get a couple cocktails in you. But to me, where they lost me was the matching outfits. I mean, you know, are you the fucking Ryder Cup? If not, Larry, enough with your matching outfits. You know what? This is when you tell your girlfriend, hey, babe, you're hot, but shut the fuck up. I don't want to. Don't tell me how to dress. I don't want to be told how to dress.
It's wives picking out outfits for guys who wear uniforms. That's what's happening. Here's one thing. I played the Cabo video that the Niners wives like put together and edited. And the only thing I can say is, hey, go have a lovely vacation with your beautiful wives. Okay. Congratulations. Every single one of these gals looks great in a bikini. Congratulations. You know, the spoils go to successful athletes for sure. I am so glad that my wife isn't an online clout chasing, looking for attention, even though she's a married woman. I am so glad I'm not from generation. Hey, look at me. Don't you wish you were me on my vacation? I'm so glad that I don't come from that preening schmo generation where look at my TikTok account to know who I am. I'm so glad I am not from that generation and my wife freaking shit about that.
Yeah. I can't have a fucking sandwich with some fries without taking four pictures of it before I eat it. You know, that's bad. Blood Moon, Seabass is locked the fuck in. Stout's locked in. Brock Purdy. Or was I saying? BPI?
BP.
Or BP. Brock
Purdy. I don't know.
But yes, Seabass, by the way, was doing four plates the other day. And he's four plates.
By the way, real quick. This
450, is, dude. Right. That's 450, dude. That's
Someone says here, leaving says, it's a different world. Boomer much? I am so happy. Well, first of all, I'm not a boomer. I know I'm gray enough to be one, but I'm not there. That's not my generation. I am so happy that I didn't grow up trying to impress total strangers online. And I'm thrilled that my wife, who, again, once you get married, you're trying to impress the casual viewer, should be done, right? You know, like what, like you're married. You're a couple now. Why are you trying to put thirst traps all over the internet? So people say like, oh, you look good, queen. I mean, like, I'm just so happy I'm not from this generation. And by the way, this generation, you get no ass. I've read the stories. You get no ass. You're looking at a lot of girls online, but that's as close as you get to them. So I'm proud to not be from generation never touched a girl.
Yeah, this whole generation doesn't even want to get married anymore. They don't see the value in getting married. yeah. And by the way, if you're one of these people that walks around, if you're going to use the term boomer, at least have an idea of what you're talking about.
Get it right.
I think if you're a boomer, I think you're like 75 years old right now.
That's what it would be if our dads would have been boomers, Larry. They were baby boomers. That's the generation.
My dad was a pre-boom. My dad was before the boomers, but my wife's parents are boomers and they're in their 70s.
Right. The baby boom happened when the generation that won World War II came back, was able to buy a really nice middle-class house in life in a concept of America that doesn't even exist anymore. Your grandparents bought their home for like five blueberries.
But it's really, there's something that's really, really bad about trying to say that, to walk around and say that something, trying to make fun of people as you're old. Hey, bro, you're not going to be the person that stays young forever. So there's, right. So you're sitting around telling people they're old and this and that. Guess what? You're going to be right there.
I'm right there with them. Happy to not be from this totally lost, depressed, staring into nothing but screens, never a girl's eyes generation.
Yeah. Carson Taylor says, I have a huge draft crush on Michael Trigg. He's talking about the Baylor tight end. Right now, elite ball skills, big frame, but a slow 4.70 40. What do you know about him? What round is he going in? I like fifth. Michael Trigg too. I think he's a day three guy.
Yeah.
This is the former Cal Bear, right? Who transferred.
Yes.
To Baylor. And, you know, he's athletic and he's got talent for sure, but he's a day three guy. I would say he's a sixth round guy, maybe even a seventh round guy, maybe even an undrafted free agent. He's going to be a late day three guy if he gets picked at all. Joseph Ernberg, team is just a lame ass buddy, buddy frat house.
Hey, look, I want my players liking each other. I want my teammates going on vacation together. I think that's great. I'm not giving the Niners a demerit for that when there are so many actual earned demerits to hand out.
I'm so tired of people ripping fraternities. If you weren't in a fraternity, that's fine, but don't rip what you don't know. Seriously, you have an image of what you think it is, and if you weren't in one, you don't really know. But yeah, I mean, it's like, come on, man.
It sounds like it's coming from a man who's given a secret handshake or two.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was in a fraternity in college, but I mean, they're all the people that walk around who are super anti-fraternity. It's like, dude, I mean, you know,
right.
What are you anti? You're anti, you know, a bunch of guys getting together and drinking some beers. I mean,
right. We had a lot of fun. We watched a lot of football together. We watched a lot of video games together. We smoked a lot of weed together, and it was really easy to pair with sororities and meet tons of girls.
I mean, some of my best buds are my fraternity brothers, and it's like, it wasn't this big Buffy. We weren't walking around wearing polo and it's just so many people.
Right. You're not the betas from freaking Animal House.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, it's like, you've decided that all fraternities are bad. If you actually
The Alpha Betas are from Revenge of the Nerds, not Animal House. I'm going to get my movie fraternity reference right.
We got this one from Lyle Bolyard. Good morning, you handsome devils. F you, Larry. You're awesome. Damon, I'm jealous. Jealous your full head of hair.
Well, thank you.
Have a great show. Thank you.
Although my kid was sitting on my shoulders the other day, Ozzy was, and he's like, Dad, I can see your skin through your hair. So we're starting to thin out up top a little here, Larry.
Those kids are always so real. Wait a second. Did we skip one here? Wait. We got that one. We got
Michael Trigg, then Fratto. We're on pace. Go ahead. Keep going.
I did. I skipped this one by accident. Oh, no. Here it is. No, it's the next one. All right, here we go. We got this one from Lyle Bolyard. Sorry, that last one was from Riker Trav. Sorry, Riker. I seen on a post that the Jets are considering giving up the 16th pick for Mac Jones. Did you guys see anything on this? From what I was told, I saw that too. I fell for that. Supposedly that's like a parody account and it's not real.
Right.
And come on. I mean, when I saw that, I thought to myself, wow, the Jets are stupid, but that would really be bad. If the Niners did get the 16th pick, man, I'd take that Penn State guard. Oh my God, that Penn State guard, he looks amazing. And if you got that up that high in the draft, that would be the guy that I'd go for. All right, we got this one from Blood Moon, Ricky Scoops, saying Eagles in on Max trading Carter. No way, they can trade Jalen Carter. I mean, that would be a good move if I were the Raiders. If you could trade Max Crosby and get Jalen Carter, if you're the Eagles, you're gonna move. I guess they got some other interior players they like, but I don't know. I don't like that one. If I'm an Eagle fan, Marcos says, "Why are people critical of John Lynch? These picks are picked and bottom lined by Kyle. You've heard the stories of John waiting on Kyle Shanahan to make the pick." Well, first of all, you know,
it's just off with Kyle, but
first of all, yeah, I mean, John, it's not like John Lynch is, you know, Dustin Perry. He's not just some pumped up guy who's like, you know, did a bunch of, you know, lifting. The guy's a Hall of Fame football player. You know what I mean? Let's not act like John Lynch is just he went to Stanford and he's a Hall of Fame football player. So, I mean, he was a very good announcer. And I know Shanahan was hired first, but, I mean, that's like saying that John Schneider didn't have any say in any of the Seahawks picks when him and Pete Carroll were there because Pete Carroll was hired first. Well, that's not true. You know, John Schneider made a number of those picks. Let's just say they're working together. Here's the thing. When people want to stand shoulder to shoulder, let them. If these guys want to stand shoulder to shoulder, let them. If they don't want us to differentiate between who fucked up the pick between John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, let them. Yes, you're right. You didn't fuck it up yourself. You both fucked it up. You know what I mean? So it's like, it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to sit there and absolve Lynch of blame because he's number two on the masthead. He is the general manager. Okay. Right.
Whether he's got the last word or not, he is on every email. He's in every meeting. He is in every memo.
He's leading their process.
Yeah.
He's leading their process. So, I mean, you don't just get to, why is he being criticized? He's being criticized because he's making millions of dollars a year to do a job and nobody, what's the alternative? We're just going to assume that he's some figurehead zero that has no weight at all for a Hall of Fame safety. I mean, this is not Brian Hampton we're talking about. We're talking about John Lynch. We're not talking about some guy who never played a down in the NFL. We're talking about a guy who's done it all.
All right. We're also talking about me having to take a leak and I'm having Sam Batesh on at 11 o'clock. So let's go.
All right. I got 3 minutes to go here. We got this one right here. From Fuji, happy to hear you on Niners Nightly. More to come. Yes, Damon will be on Niners Nightly on a regular basis.
News to my ears. Okay, sounds good. Sure.
Fuji Simeon, which team has done well in free agency and trades so far? I think Kansas City. Trading a 1 DB for like 4 draft choices, including a number one. I think Kansas City. I think Brett Veach got over on that deal. We have this one from Krug. What was your gut reaction to Mekhi Lemon's combine interviews? You know, supposedly he turned people off in the combine interviews. I'm more concerned about his testing numbers, which weren't great either. You know, that he's a terrific receiver, but I'd be a little concerned.
What did he come off as? Bad attitude, stupid guy, not a student of the game. What happened in those interviews?
I think he came across as, you know, kind of cocky and
a little entitled,
maybe a little entitled. Yeah. We got this one from Carson. He says, I feel like a sleeper team for Mac is Kansas City since they have 2 firsts and an early second. Drew Tranquil, Leo Chenal, good linebackers, but I see a world Kansas City wants to move on from Rashee Rice. Thoughts? Well, the Niners and Chiefs have gotten together before on a deal. Veach and Lynch are tight. Chenal's a free agent, so he won't be going anywhere. But I don't think Kansas City's going to move for Mac Jones.
I don't think the Niners would be interested in Rashee Rice.
No. They definitely will not. Lyle Bolliard, go get Adafe Owe and defensive end, Franklin at defensive tackle, Alex Pierce at wide receiver, and get the rest in the draft. All right. You're spending a lot of money right there, though.
I mean, they spent a lot
right there. Fuji, who had a better free agent trades so far, the Rams or Seattle? What's Seattle done?
What's Seattle done? I don't think they've done anything yet in terms of a trade, have they?
Yeah, I don't like what the Rams have done because I think the Rams are shortchanging themselves. I think Kansas City knows that McDuffie's got a knee problem and he didn't have surgery. And I think the Rams are getting a damaged goods player. Fuji says, do the 49ers re-sign Pinheiro or sign an undrafted rookie? They're going to re-sign Pinheiro. They're going to get it done. They've been working on it. They're going to get it done. Fuji says, World Baseball Classic is here. Who you got to win? I'm going Team Italy. I'm a big fan of Ned Colletti.
I have no interest in the World Baseball Classic. I guess I'll watch the title game or a highlight or two, but to me, if it's not Major League Baseball, I don't care about baseball.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's a big nothing burger. Ernberg says, trade this old core. They aren't winning the Super Bowl. Yeah, I think I would vote for that as well. I'd trade away the old core and get what I could get.
Are you ready to get back to the first year of a 3-year plan then? Because last year was supposed to be the first year of a 3-year plan. You trade away the core, you're back to the first year of another 3-year plan.
I don't know if I even agree with that. I think you have Brock, you have Kyle. You know, I think some of these older players have regressed more than people want to admit, and I think that you could go cheaper, younger, and maybe even compete. Fuji says, Larry, what is your take on prospect Bo Davidson? I talked to him in the clubhouse a couple days ago. I really like him. He's a big kid, and he's got a lot of talent, tons of bat speed. He's going to be up this year, and he is going to be good. I really like Bo Davidson, right fielder, probably the Giants right fielder of the future. Fuji says, thoughts on Vitello. what does it say? Is the end of the
end of the day, it comes down to wins. In the meantime, as long as he isn't a food critic, share male wellness lifestyle, take the pose as an intellectual, it's good enough for me. And I would agree. Yes, you stay far, far away from the perfectly manicured 5 o'clock shadow that
fraud that was known as Gabe Kapler.
Pitch man for Case Swiss. Don't get a tattoo of a rose on your hand.
Blood Moon Taylor Decker is free to sign. He's retiring. And we have this one from Fuji Larry at SI. You have polos and derby jackets. Back in the boomer days, SI and Stuart Hall were affordable. Catholic schools tuition overall is crazy. Oh God, tell Damon. Damon knows all about it. Reardon's right next door.
Yeah. That's why my kids are going to public school.
I was going to say, you know, what the heck? Couple last ones. Bill Wanger, yes. How does it feel having KMBR crawl back to you?
I haven't seen anyone on their hands and knees.
Yeah, no. I think we're both happy to be associated with the station at this point. Am I associated
with the station again? I mean, I'll tell you, I'm not going that far.
You're part of Niners Nightly.
Put a couple paychecks, put in my bank account to officially say we're associated. But wow, it was fun being with you, Larry, in a place that you and I are directly attached to the people's best memories of. I mean, it was nice being on KMBR.
It was good to have you back. Fuji, Simeon, Larry, people audio are
right
not-
next time. How about that? Huh?
We could hear it. We'll get it better. Fuji, Simeon said, Larry, people are not getting married because the fights that arise from forgetting to add a dryer sheet or not setting the dryer to delicate is no joke. No, I think I mean this is a more of a serious conversation, but I think there's a lot of men that don't see the value of marriage. I'm going to sign up for something. She's going to decide she doesn't like me in 5 years. She's going to leave. She's going to take half of what I have, including my kids. Marriage is a very delicate agreement, and you could argue that. To some, it's outlived its usefulness.
It is. Look at it this way. It is the single.
I love my wife. I'm glad I'm married.
It's the single most important decision you will ever make in your life. You better get it right. Because if you don't, there's misery. If you do, there's only misery.
If you marry the right woman, as we have done, it sounds like we're married to the one woman, doesn't it? If you marry the right women, as we have done, I think it enhances your life. But 100%. If you marry the wrong woman, your life fucking sucks. So I'm not even joking about that. You would rather be alone than be with the wrong woman, but you'd rather be with the right woman than be alone. The Kevin Wood, is there room for optimism with the Niners bringing back that Kwesi dude? Seems like the Vikings haven't been that bad over the last few years. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know if it's a good move or not. Well, that's going to be time will tell. And this one, John Thomas says he became a YouTube member. So we always give a little brief clap there. Thanks for jumping aboard. And we have one last one here from Fuji who says divorce and alimony and child support payments are scary.
Yeah, so dying alone.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Hey, here's the bottom line is I'd rather love and lose than not love at all. And on that note, I'm going to bolt for the door. Chase Senior's waiting for me in the other room. We're going to do a little stream over there right now. Damon goes live at 11. For Damon, I'm Larry. Have a great one. Damon, I'll give you the final thought.
Angels fly because they take themselves lightly.
You know, I wrote down Ralph Barbieri's name in an envelope, and I opened up that envelope and said, Ralph, no matter what.
You give the worst final thoughts. You give me the final thought, then you punctuate it with your own final. Quit fluffing my tip, Kruger.
You know what I would like to say is, you know what? I'm Trent Baalke, and that means I can do what I want.